You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
If you feel that you don't belong in project management, today's episode is definitely for you. Better yet, I like this quote here. Regrets won't change yesterday, and anxiety won't change tomorrow. Point number one, dealing with people placing their fears on you. See, family, sometimes people have good intentions. Matter of fact, they may even have great intentions, but there's a tendency to, watch this, family, put their own insecurities on you, making you doubt your own capabilities. Why is this important? See, letting others' fear influences your decisions, and not only does it limit your growth, it also impacts your mindset of making a decision. Should I do it? Should I not? And you start having all of these questions. Here's my actionable tip. When someone questions your ability, respond with candor, first of all, by saying, hey, you know what? I appreciate your concerns, but I trust my ability to handle this. This reaffirms your confidence. Now, a lot of times, family, you may not be right. I remember when I was growing as a kid and I wanted to go across the street and play. My mom was like, no, you can't do that because of the traffic. The traffic was very heavy in that neighborhood at that time. And I couldn't see it, so I did it anyway. But the point of it was, is that she was right. I shouldn't have been going across the street because I could have potentially got hit. But I am referencing, when I leverage that story, is saying that sometimes if somebody hasn't done what you've done, be willing to take their consultation and listen, but also be willing to believe in yourself. I hope that makes sense, because I took it as a kid. But okay, anyway, let's move on to point number two. Point number two, dealing with professional setbacks and self-doubt. Man, I tell you, there's something really funny about confidence. Matter of fact, better yet, rejection. See, rejection is painful. I don't care who you are. Yep, you may seem like rejection don't hurt. Well, congratulations to you, but rejection is painful. But it's not the final verdict on your ability, fam. There's a sign that something is better fit elsewhere. The adage, when one door closes, another one opens. And I want to remix that thing. When one door closes, another one opens. And if that door closes, we go through the window. If we can't get through the window, we may, if they got a chimney, we're going through the chimney. What I'm trying to say here, family, is that we have to be willing and be open to possibilities. Give your chance, give yourself a moment to go through that rejection, feel that rejection. Yes, think about it, but don't think too long, because when you think about it too long, it takes you further away from opportunities that are out there for you that you could be taking advantage of. Why is this important? Because instead of taking rejection personally, analyze what you can improve, and use it to fuel your growth. See, for me, what I always do when I get rejected, I use that as growth. I use that as fuel. There's been so many times people have told me no. There's been so many people told me, hey, you're not qualified. There's many people told me, you're leading this project. We should be leading it this way. And I just kept, that's rejection. If you don't understand it, that is pure rejection. And what I said is, I don't believe them. They're not telling the truth there. There may be a little bit of some grains of truth there, but that's not the complete truth. I can do this. I know I can do this. I don't think I know I can do it. Here's my actionable tip. Ask for feedback from your hiring manager. Identify gaps in your skill and create an actionable plan to actually close them. Point number three, be decisive under pressure. See, indecisiveness creates confusion and hesitation within your team. Strong project managers, better yet, exceptional project managers, they make decisions swiftly on the available information that they have. Listen, family, a lot of times you're not going to have all the information and you're going to be asked to make a decision. And I understand you don't want to be wrong, but I'm going to tell you this, there's going to be times you're going to be wrong, but what about the times that you're going to be right? Our motto here, we glance at the problem and then we throw everything at the solution. And the reason why we do that is because as a project manager, you're going to be tasked with hey, we need to make a decision here. Should we have a go or no go? I remember I shared that story before where we were on a call. It was late and I had to make a decision. Hey, are we going to go or not go? Hey, based on the information I heard here and based on the client that we were dealing with, we had to move forward. So I made the decision. If it didn't work out, hey, you know what? That's just part of the journey, and I can't do anything about it, except this is what I can do. I can't go back and course correct it. Because see, delayed decisions slow down projects and slow projects down. They erode stakeholders' confidence, and it creates unnecessary roadblocks. Here's my actionable tip for you, family. Follow the 80% rule. What's the 80% rule, ED? See, if you have 80% of the information needed, make a decision and adjust, adapt, pivot. Because I would rather you, as a leader myself, I would rather you make a decision, not a choice, but make a decision and be decisive, and we go back and course correct. Because you know what's going to happen if that decision is bad? I'm sticking here for a moment. Just hang out with me for a little bit. The reason why I would rather you make that decision, because you will remember that decision when you have to make another decision. And it's not going to make you timid. Some people are like, if I make the wrong decision, you're going to make me timid. No, you're going to remind yourself of, okay, what information did I have, or what angle should I, how should I really be looking at this? So again, be decisive under pressure. Point number four, control the controllables. This is another one of the models here, family. Not everything is within your power, but your response is, or how you respond is. So the key to overcoming chaos is focusing on what you can control instead of dwelling on external factors. Listen, I got an amazing comment from one of the family members said, hey, you should have more views. You should have more subscribers. And I'm not trying to impress you by saying that, family. What I'm trying to do is impress upon you that I agree with them. But a lot of people look at the content and don't take the time to go through the content. I have 400 videos. I have 400, I don't know how many podcasts I have, but I have, and I'm just talking about real life things that are going to happen to you if you fall in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. I'm setting you guys up for success. I don't have all the answers. I'm just telling you, hey, this is what happened to me. Go experiment with it. Come back. Let me know what you think. If that didn't work for you, tell me what is going on. I am a learner. I am in learning mode consistently and constantly. So I can't control if someone clicks on the video or listens to the episode in the podcast. But what I can do is continue to show up. What I can continue to do is be consistent. What I can continue to do is do the very best that I can do each and every time. So focusing on the controllable factors increases productivity, it reduces stress, and enhances confidence. Here's my actionable tip. When you are overwhelmed, list three things you can control right now. For instance, your next action, how you communicate, how you manage your time, and take immediate action. A lot of times, family, we end up figuring out a solution we're going to go with, and we hem and haw, and we start creating our own personal roadblocks, or we start allowing the external factors of what people said about us get in our own way. Okay, you're not going to be honest with me. Let me be honest with myself. I've done that. Mm-hmm. See, when they told me that you shouldn't even be in project management because you don't have the experience, I said, the only way I'm going to get the experience is for me to actually lead a project. And a lot of times we won't make that transition, especially for the people that are looking to make a transition into project management, because we're concerned, or what I call imposter syndrome of, hey, I probably shouldn't be here because I don't have the experience. But you got to think, how did you get the experience how to walk? How did you get the experience of how to ride a bike or drive a car? You know where I'm going with this. You had to actually do the thing. Let's move on to point number five. Develop a resilient mindset. See, chaos is inevitable in project management. Those who bounce back quickly maintain control, as well as they don't dwell on the failure and remain stuck. I always tell you, family, have a front shield approach to life and a rear view approach to life. You're like, okay, what does that mean? Being able to be able to look out the front shield window and say, yep, this is the path I'm moving forward, with a rear view approach to say, this is what happened to me. Now, what am I going to do about it? And I'm not immune to it either, family. And what I mean by that is that I go through trials and tribulations. Life happens on me. So life is lifey. And I have to figure out ways. How do I bounce back? What do I do when I'm leading a project and I have five resources and then three of them quit and there's only two left. How are we still going to execute this? Or they cut my budget, or they say, hey, we need this product faster than we initially agreed on. It's about having the ability to continue to find ways to move forward, or get when you fall down to get back up. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's not easy, but it's definitely not hard. So resilience helps you stay adaptable. It keeps the team engaged, and it maintains your credibility as a leader. See, when things happen and chaos is breaking loose, they look to the leader. They look to you. They want to know, what are we going to do now? And if you sit there and you're just as nervous as them, and if you're just as worried and have anxiety, that is going to reflect in the team. Here's my actionable tip. Practice controlled breathing and reframing the challenges as opportunities. Here's an example, family. When faced with a setback, ask, what can I learn from this? Instead of, why did this have to happen to me? And let's be honest, if we're all going to be honest here, we all have done that. Like, why did this have to happen to me? If I would have known this then, but it happened. Now we must move forward. All right. Point number six, maintain clarity in communication. See, miscommunication creates confusion, delays, as well as wasted effort. Clear and concise communication keeps everyone aligned. See, this is important, family, because teams rely on project managers for direction, as well as clear messages to lead misunderstanding, because this can impact lost productivity. Here's my actionable tip. Use structure updates. For example, what happened? What's next? Who's responsible? What's the deadline? See, stick to this format, or experiment with this format, I should say, when you're leading meetings or you're sending out email correspondence. Point number seven, master the art of problem solving. One of the biggest, if you were to ask me, what are one of the pillars of project management, is having the ability to solve problems. Problems arise throughout your project. If you are leading a waterfall type approach, meaning all of the scope, all of the activities that what you plan to do are defined up front. So problems will arise and you have to diagnose them and then solve them efficiently. Here, this is important, family, because structured problem solving prevents reoccurrence, strengthens leadership, and keeps project moving forward. I will say, though, you can have your little framework for how you're going to solve the problem, but it may be attacked. And so what I always recommend, besides is having your framework, continue to build. What did you use before? Let me experiment. Okay, that's not going to work. Okay, now let me try something different. Okay, that end up working. And keeping that, putting that in your toolbox, as I always talk about your project management toolbox. Here's my actionable tip. You can always use the five whys. Why? Until you reach to the root cause of the issue. Solve the root, not the symptom. A lot of times we look to solve the symptom instead of solving the root. And then when that issue pops up again, we're frustrated. And you name the emotion as a project manager, because we're trying to understand, why does this keep popping up? I thought we solved it. No, we only solved the surface layer. We didn't solve the actual root of it. Point number eight, stay calm and project confidence. See, teams, they mirror their leader's energy. If you panic, they panic. If you stay composed, they stay focused. This is important, family, because the ability to contain emotional control ensures stability and decision-making clarity. Here's my actionable tip. Before responding to a crisis, pause, breathe, reframe the entire situation. And then you approach it logically, not emotionally. And this is going to take work, I promise you, because I'm still in the process of working this. Like I said, I'm a student of this. Because you have to understand that everything that is said about you may not be true. It may be some parts that are true. But even if it is true, how are you going to respond? You're going to respond with emotional intelligence. How are you going to respond? By saying, okay, this is how you feel. I can't change how you feel. Going back to one of the previous points, controlling the controllables. I have to control what I can control. And the only thing I can control is myself. I can't control how you feel. I can't control what you think, but I can control how I think. I can control how I actually feel. Family, because of we made it over the 1,000 subscriber mark, I apologize. I wanted to throw in some bonuses. So if you stuck this long, you're really going to get some more value out of today's episode. So I hope if you're here, let me know that you're here and just put bonus to let me know you're here. All right. Overcoming fear that you're not good enough. I can't wait until this book that I'm writing. I don't even want to talk about it, but it's about imposter syndrome. See, imposter syndrome is common. If someone says that they don't have imposter syndrome, they're lying to you. Or, excuse me, if they haven't experienced imposter syndrome, then they're not telling you the truth. Because even the most highly experienced professionals have experienced imposter syndrome. Why is this important? See, fear of inadequacy can lead to hesitation, self-sabotage, and missed opportunities. It also can impact your confidence, how you feel, how you think, how you believe. So here's my actionable tip. Keep a success log. What does that mean, ED? See, this is where you're going to document your past wins. You're going to document your positive feedback, your accomplishment. And then you're going to revisit it when self-doubt creeps in, because it will. Bonus number two, turn stakeholder concerns into opportunities. The stakeholders may panic during setbacks instead of avoiding conflict conversation. See, they'll use concerns of opportunity to demonstrate problem solving skill. See, this is important, family, when addressing concern early builds trust and credibility. Here's my actionable tip. Respond to concerns with, I see your point. Here's our plan to manage that. Always be solution-orientated response. One of my good friends, Erica, I said, I want to be a problem solver, which, or seeking to be to solve problems. But she gave me a good name, be a solutionist. See, a solutionist is someone that are always looking for solutions, always, instead of always just looking at a problem as a problem and not finding a solution. All right, bonus number three. Be transparent about challenges. See, hiding problems delays resolutions and it creates bigger issues later. This is important because transparency, especially on your project team, it really helps with trust as well as engagement. So ensuring people work together towards a solution. Here's my actionable tip. Communicate what happened, what's been done, and what is needed. This keeps everyone aligned. Bonus number four. Know when to push and know when to pause. What I think there was a song, I forgot the artist, but he says, know when to hold them and know, I think it was Johnny Cash. Know when to hold them and know when to fold them. See, persistency is crucial, but sometimes just taking a step back provides clarity and assists you with not being burnt out. This is important, family, because constantly pushing forward without reflection leads to exhaustion, as well as you start making poor decisions. So ask yourself, here's my actionable tip. Ask yourself, am I making progress or am I forcing something that isn't working? How do I adjust? How do I pivot? Bonus number five, embrace the stumble as a learning opportunity. See, a lot of times, family, we don't want to have to go through things. If we understood it accurately, we're all going to go through something. Learning from setbacks prevents repeated mistakes, improves decision-making, and builds long-term resilience. You want to be able to analyze what went wrong. Conduct a lessons learned or post-mortem so you can figure out what went wrong and why did it happen. And then what you want to do is also look at your lessons learned register, create a lessons learned log, and document these so you'll be able to know what the issue was, and then what was the solution that you used to address that? And maybe you may use parts of that solution to address a new particular issue. Here's my final takeaway regarding chaos is temporary, but growth is important. See, success comes from stumbling and learning and rising again. Face challenges head on, embrace setbacks as learning opportunities, and never, I do mean never, let a temporary chaos define your long-term success. Family, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.